This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A recent study from the Texas Freedom Network found that most Texas high schools do not adequately teach sex education. Looking at 150 school districts across the state, including the top 10 largest ISDs, the study reports that 58% of districts teach abstinence-only sex ed, 25% don't teach any sex education at all, and 17% teach students about condoms. Some are calling for a more fact-based approach to teaching sex ed in our public schools. Representative Mary Gonzalez, a Democrat from Clint near El Paso, has filed House Bill 1547 that would require sex education classes to be taught that include evidence-based information about birth control. I recently spoke with Representative Gonzalez about the bill.
You know that we have a problem with teenagers not getting the accurate information when it comes to sex education. We know that we need to address teen pregnancy and give them information about STIs and make sure that they're prepared for the world. And so after some research that came out that talked about how limited sex education is in Texas, a few years ago I filed a bill, I filed it in this session, to have medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education in Texas.
What do you mean by age-appropriate?
The reason I ended up putting that is because there were a lot of concerns about giving out condoms to third graders or when we would start the conversation. And here's what I say all the time, is that we need to create a curriculum that is based on research, not based on fears or based on theories or myths. And so when we put age-appropriate, it was really just to let people know we weren't starting this conversation in the third grade, but we were going to use research to talk about, well, when does a conversation need to start, and start it at an age-appropriate level.
What's happening with sex education now? What's wrong with the way that Texas high school students are finding out about having a healthy attitudes about sex?
I mean, what's happening now, in most parts across the state, nothing. And that's what's really scary. You know, you turn on the television, and TV and media is so sexualized, and I believe that television and the media shouldn't be the only things teaching kids about, or young people about, sex, healthy relationships, sexuality. And so how does the education system complement a parental role in order to make sure that the only messages aren't a hyper-sexualized, stereotypical ideas about sex and sexuality? And so we really want our school system to be able to give scientific, medically accurate research and information to young people about what this really means. And here's the thing. We know we have a problem in Texas. We know that we rank in the highest with teen pregnancy. We know that kids aren't getting the information. Young people aren't getting the information. We know that we need to make sure that we protect them from STIs. And so giving them the information that is relevant is really important for their futures and for them really finishing their education.
Is this really the job for schools? Isn't this something that parents should be doing?
I think that if all parents were doing this, we wouldn't have a problem. But I think parents and schools can complement each other. I don't think we're trying to take away the job of parents. But I do think we're trying to say, here is some education that we realize young people need. Should media be the only things that the only arm that's teaching our young people about sex and sexuality? And I don't think so, because we have seen through data and statistics that it's not working. And so do I believe that schools have a place in education and sex education? Yes.
So we're seeing that many schools in Texas are using abstinence only in sex education. And is there a problem with that?
Well, I think abstinence only doesn't really help address the problems we're facing in the state. You know, we've been really encouraged as Abstinence Plus is really having a bigger, deeper, more real conversation about abstinence as the main option, but also how do you protect yourself and have healthy relationships. And sex education isn't only about sex. It's also about understanding our bodies and consent and diseases and protection and contraception. And so it is a bigger conversation that young people should have access to this information. And why we don't give them that information should really be a critical question for us, specifically in a state where we don't always have the most positive women's health conversations as well.
Anyone with an internet connection is going to have access to some very strange ideas about sex. You know, there's a lot of pornography out there. Kids are curious, and they're going to find this stuff. Do you think that now we need healthy discussions about what real sex is? We need it now more than ever because of that crazy stuff that's on the internet, which is not real. But kids don't know that.
I think that's exactly why. I mean, kids can Google things. They have their iPhones, their iPads, their computers. They have access to all this information. Shouldn't we, don't we owe it to them to give them accurate information, balanced information, healthy information? If we only leave it up to a website search, we really are doing them a disservice. And this is about creating healthy young people and healthy relationships so that we can really prepare them for the future.
Right now, is health class, is that required for students, high school students?
I need to check this to be completely accurate, but I don't think it's required anymore. And I think that's one of the problems is because it's not required anymore, a lot of young people aren't getting sex education.
It's an elective. It's not required by the TEA.
Right.
And so some schools, districts vary, but generally it's an elective.
Right.
And then even when it is, they do have it, it's a there's questionable material that's involved in it that will challenge a data-based approach to trying to reduce teen pregnancies and reduce sexually transmitted diseases.
Exactly. And you know, not only are they required to get this information, but then we don't have information that's always accurate. We have information that is very much informed by ideology as opposed to science and research. And so we really just want to say, regardless of where anybody sits on this ideological scale, here is the information you should know about relationships and consent and diseases and contraception, because don't they need that information for their future?
What kind of data gathering do we have now in regards to pregnancy in schools? Is that tracked?
That is semi-tracked through PEAM, so we know that Texas ranks in some of the highest rates of teen pregnancy, and again, highest in repeat teen pregnancy. So even after a young person gets pregnant, they end up getting pregnant again in their teenage years, and we have one of the highest rates of repeat teen pregnancy in the state.
Are other lawmakers going, yeah, this is what we need? Or they're going, Mary, why are you bringing this up? We don't need this.
Well, I think like most things in the legislature, it's not moving very fast. And so, you know, I filed this bill because I think our young people deserve someone to advocate for them and have the conversation. Do I understand the political realities of the Texas legislature? Of course. But don't we have an obligation when we know we have a problem to have the conversation?
That was Representative Mary Gonzalez, a Democrat from the El Paso area. She has filed a bill in the Texas legislature that would require sex education classes that include evidence-based information about birth control. When we come back from this break, we open up the phone lines, 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Do you think Texas school districts should be teaching age-appropriate sex education? The conversation continues after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. More than 80% of Texas public school districts are not teaching sex education, or they are exclusively teaching abstinence-only methods, according to a recent report from the Texas Freedom Network. We're talking about that this hour here on The Source. We just heard from a state representative who filed a bill, to try to change that and bring about age-appropriate, fact-based sex education in our public schools. But right now, let's talk to Mario Martinez. He's a program manager for Project Worth here in the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. And also with us is Dr. David Wiley, professor of sex education at Texas State University and the founder of the Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. And he conducted that study that's being cited here. Mario Martinez, tell me about Project Worth. What do you do?
Well, Project Worth is a City of San Antonio Metro Health program, and for several years we've been working with the community on teen pregnancy prevention. And this includes, you know, talking about what are evidence-based programs, educating the community on the various programs that are available to communities, and then having a community and or school districts go through a process of selecting one for their students.
And we've seen a dramatic reduction in the teen birth rate in San Antonio,
correct,
which has been credited to what Project Worth is all about.
Right. So basically, it's been a really community effort, and really teen behavior has really led that decline. In fact, from 2010 to 2014, we saw a 26% drop in our teen birth rate, exceeding the SA 2020 goal that the community set back in 2010.
Dr. David Wiley, tell me about this study that you conducted.
Yeah, hi. Well, thank you for having me on the show. This is actually the third study that we've conducted about sex education in Texas. We did our first one in 2008, 2009, then another one 2011. So this is the most recent. And this study is pretty powerful evidence that things are getting, somewhat better in one respect and not so much better in another in regards to sex education. And we do find that more districts are teaching more information about contraception, but we're also seeing, you know, real high numbers of no instruction whatsoever or abstinence-only sex education. And so I think it's kind of a good news, bad news. The pitch depends on which side of the coin you want to look.
What is the goal of these types of programs, sex education? What are they trying to achieve?
In short, is to reduce sexual risk-taking among youth. So what we find with evidence-based programs that Mario was just referring to, with good evidence-based programs, they, for students who are already choosing abstinence, they support their choice of abstinence. So it helps young people remain abstinent, their commitment to abstinence. And for young people who have already begun sexual activity, it increases the likelihood that they will use contraception consistently and correctly. And so in a perfect world, everyone would choose the healthiest behaviors and everyone would be abstinent until the right time in life, but that's not what happens in reality. And so what we find is that if we can just reduce sexual risk-taking, and that would include not only support for abstinence, but also correct and consistent contraception use.
6 out of 10 seniors admit to having sex at least once here in Texas. That's a statistic I saw. Is that statistic still accurate?
Yes. The Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which is done every 2 years by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has consistently shown that Texas is above national averages with youth in sexual risk-taking, one of which is about 62% of Texas high school seniors admit to having sex at least once. So when you go to a high school graduation this May or June, keep that thought in mind as those kids walk across the stage. Statistically, 6 out of 10 of them have chosen something other than abstinence, and we think we have an obligation as leaders in the public health world to actually provide them with some skills and tools and knowledge to protect themselves.
Mario Martinez over at Project Worth here in San Antonio, I imagine that you actually get to talk to, you know, youth, teens who are sexually active. How informed are they? I mean, it seems like there's information anywhere you want. You know, how do they lack for information about use of contraceptives?
Yes. We've heard from teens for many years about their lack of receiving good information on how to prevent teen pregnancy, how to prevent STDs and HIV. They really would like to see teachers or folks in the community who can provide that information. While they can access the information online, their preference is to have a trusted adult to give them that information with confidence that would help them to change that behavior or to guide them along the way of remaining abstinent. But as Dr. Wiley said, many of our teens are sexually active, and so they need that information.
And so, Dr. Wiley, where are most teens, if they're not getting their information from a school program, where are they getting their information from?
Yes, most of them get the information from their friends who are just as uninformed as they are. And there's a lot of Google searching and things like that that may not be providing the most accurate information. And so what we've learned is that they get it from older brothers and sisters, get information from friends. There's a lot of trial and error that goes on, which helps explain why Texas is always in the top five of states that in teen birth rates. And so it's just a mishmash of information from different sources. But I will tell you that study after study after study has shown that young people really wish their parents would be their first and best sexual educators. But we know that parents don't do that. So I think young people are seeking that trusted adult, hopefully a parent. But in many cases, that's not the case. That's why we think teachers are so important as a trusted adult in front of the classroom delivering evidence-based information rather than just letting young people pull that computer out of their pocket, that's their iPhone, and just Google search and come up with whatever they can.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join our conversation as we talk about Texas and sex education in our public schools. And Dr. David Wiley, what is the requirement? What do schools have to provide?
Well, schools basically have to provide nothing. As was mentioned earlier with Representative Gonzalez, in 2009, the state of Texas removed health education as a high school graduation requirement. And so in our study, we found that obviously since 2009, a lot of school districts no longer offer health education. Therefore, the platform for sex education is really has been removed. And so the districts that do provide sex education, or rather health education, will have it as a local requirement for graduation, but doesn't necessarily have to meet the state standard. And I will tell you that the state does, and the Texas Education Code does have some broad-based regulations around teaching sex education, but they're all, for the most part, there are a few that we have a problem with. But in general, it's emphasizing absence as a first and best choice, which all good programs do anyway. There's no such thing as Texas being an abstinence-only state. That doesn't exist. That's a nonsensical term. Yet I find a lot of school district administrators and school board trustees think that Texas is, quote unquote, an abstinence-only state, and that is just not true. The Texas Education Code requires that abstinence be emphasized over any other behavior, but at no point does it mandate that abstinence only be taught.
Okay, so you're saying that there's no law in Texas that says that only abstinence can be taught in public schools.
That is correct. The Texas Education Code 28.004 is very clear that abstinence should be emphasized, but at no point is it required. Yet I find that, again, as I mentioned, that school district trustees, school board trustees, and administrators either intentionally or unintentionally misinterpret that information as we are an abstinence-only state. And the reality is that local school districts control this completely through their school health advisory councils, which are parent groups in the community that are appointed by school board trustees to make recommendations to the board about sex education and health education in general. So this is completely controlled at the local level. And so if people are trying to make a difference, the first thing they should do is volunteer for their local school health advisory council.
So do we have any information that'll tell us if abstinence only, when it is taught, if it does reduce sexual activity to the students?
Well, what we have seen in terms of abstinence-only programs, there are a couple that are shown to be effective. And remember, the definition of effectiveness is reducing sexual risk-taking. And there are a couple that have been shown to be effective, but these are primarily at middle school levels before the majority of young people become sexually active. There is very, very limited impact of abstinence-only programs on the sexual risk-taking of high school youth. And so in looking at what's best in terms of age appropriateness, as Representative Gonzalez mentioned earlier, you can certainly make a case that abstinence-only programs in early middle school are quite appropriate. But as students get older, it becomes a little bit nonsensical to be talking about abstinence with students who have already become sexually active. And so we think in terms of age appropriateness, using a program, an abstinence-only program at the middle school level that is not shame or fear-based, that makes kids feel badly for having normal sexual desires and as a part of normal adolescent growth and development, is probably called for, but at the high school level, certainly, we need more information than just abstinence.
So when you say it's effective with middle school students, how effective is it, and is it more effective or less effective than abstinence plus?
Well, and just to clarify, when you say it is not one thing. There are a number of curricula that are out there. Some are completely ineffective in terms of reducing sexual risk taking. And we also find that some parts of some programs work with some segments of youth. And so it's not just, yes or no, is it effective, is it not? It depends on which curriculum you're looking at. And when you look at abstinence-only programs that have been effective, again, the couple that are out there, most of them are middle school programs, and they reinforce the decision of these youth to remain abstinent. And so that's the primary impact. And so it's not, again, there's a bucket of abstinence only and a bucket of abstinence plus. There are different programs of which different segments of the curricula may work with certain populations. And so it's not as easy as does it work, does it not?
Okay, but is it as effective in generally speaking as abstinence plus?
Generally speaking, absolutely not. If that were the case, remember, Texas gets more abstinence-only funding than any other state in the union, yet we are still in the top five in teen birth rates and the top three of teen pregnancy rates. And we, and as Representative Gonzalez mentioned, we lead the nation year after year in repeat birth among teens. So, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look at our national data.
And what about sexually transmitted data, sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, we are above national averages in virtually every STI among young people. So it's across the board. That's why a lot of these programs, you mentioned earlier, what are we looking trying to do? It's not so much, okay, we're trying to reduce teen pregnancy. We're trying to, increase condom use, whatever. What we're trying to do is reduce sexual risk-taking, and that includes not just pregnancy prevention, but other things such as reducing rates of transmission of sexually transmitted infections as well.
Are students taught about if they do get pregnant, what their options are?
Well, in our research, we found that that's a very interesting question. In our research, we found very little information about that topic. What we did see was of the districts that did talk about options, it was almost exclusively about adoption. There's virtually no information whatsoever in Texas public schools about pregnancy termination, about abortion. And again, not picking a side on that one way or the other, but the information is not provided to young people. And in fact, in many cases, school districts bring in these crisis pregnancy centers as guest speakers in health education classes, and these groups are exclusively promoting adoption at the exclusion of information about abortion. And so we know that very little information is provided about options, and almost no information is provided about abortion.
So they're not being told about the morning after pill or anything like that that could be life-changing?
No, our research showed that's virtually unheard of.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from the San Antonio Coalition for Life about their position in support of abstinence-only education and trying to prevent any changes from that happening in local school districts. Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation as we talk about sex education in our public school districts, what children are receiving, what they're not receiving when it comes to learning about the birds and the bees. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Polling tells us that 70 to 80% of American adults support the teaching of sex education in public school classrooms, yet only 83% of Texas school districts taught abstinence only or no sex education at all in 2015-2016 school year. We're talking about that this hour here on The Source. We invite you into our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's bring in another voice here, Kelly Gretschel. She is the Executive Director of the San Antonio Coalition for Life. And Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the San Antonio Coalition for Life and about how your approach to sex education.
Actually, the San Antonio Coalition for Life focuses a little bit more on ending abortion through prayer, but I am a parent here in Northeast ISD, and my main goal for Northeast ISD is that they implement a program that is effective for girls and boys.
Well, haven't you been active in anti-sex ed seminars around with Northeast ISD?
Sure, absolutely. It's not necessarily anti-sex ed. It's more the current program is not effective for girls, and so we are seeking to get a program that both helps girls and boys.
So let me just try and make sure I get this absolutely correct. So San Antonio Coalition for Life, and which is part of the San Antonio Family Association, y'all don't have an official position for or against the North East Side Independent School District's changes that they made on a sex ed curriculum.
You know, that's a little bit, some of the groups you got there kind of mixed in, but we can talk about that another time. Basically, what I am is a parent who has an official stance against the current draw the line, respect the line, that it does not help girls and it does not follow the Texas Education Code as far as sex ed goes.
So you are executive director of the San Antonio Coalition for Life, right?
Yes,
okay.
But we are not a part of the San Antonio Family Association.
Okay, and so, and you are speaking right now only for yourself.
Yes, sir.
So who organized the robocalls that went through NEISD saying that the new curriculum was promoting oral and anal sex?
That was not me, sir. I'm not sure.
Okay. But you did participate in this in a educator's kit that was put forth by and organized to educate parents, a meeting that was held for parents?
Sure, yes. We had some seminars for parents, about six of them throughout the summer at different library locations, in which we had purchased the sex ed program that Northeast ISD was using. And we had all that available, along with a PowerPoint that pointed out some things that we were concerned about. And we did, there were several parents who were involved in that, and a lot of those parents are part of other groups. You mentioned the San Antonio Family Association. They're a part of that group as well. You know, sometimes those who are active in the community are a part of a lot of different things. So we all kind of run together sometimes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clear that up because you had been quoted as part of the San Antonio Coalition for Life as an organizer trying to somehow change the curriculum alteration that NEISD made for sex ed.
Yes, I know which quote you're talking about. And the gentleman who came was a lovely gentleman. He was covering one of the presentations, and he just, you know, he attached, I'm a parent and also an executive director, so he just, you know, put the two together accidentally.
Okay, so, but you have received training. You know what you're talking about. You've read up on the issue in regards to taking a pro-life stance in abstinence-only education. Do you think that abstinence-only is the best way to deal with this from a pro-life stance?
Yes, I believe abstinence-only education is the best way to deal with sex, alcohol, drugs, et cetera.
And how effective do you think it is with high schoolers?
With high schoolers, the numbers we primarily focused on was middle school because that was the curriculum we were looking at. With high schoolers, I mean, there's still more evidence coming out, but it's kind of difficult to collect that evidence because you really are – you hand them a survey, and they, you know, they fill it out, and it's kind of just an interesting process to ask teens about their sexual history and hope that you get a clear and concise answer.
So when we hear that 62% of graduating high school seniors say they've had sex at least once, you think that is mostly they're just making it up?
No, not necessarily, but I mean, it is difficult to get accurate information from students. And that's something we struggle with on all, you know, all kinds of levels, even in, you know, the regular teaching field.
Okay, well, what about the number of teen pregnancy or even the number of students who have contracted STIs? I mean, that seems...
Well, that's a number you can't argue with.
Right, and so it's out there, and Texas is, you know, one of the leading states for teen pregnancies. And we're one of the states that has the funds abstinence-only education at the highest rate.
You know, the abstinence-only education, most districts have what they call comprehensive sex ed, which is abstinence plus information about birth controls and or lessons on how to put on condoms and things like that. So I wouldn't say that Texas is purely abstinence-only, though many districts do have an abstinence-only program. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
Right, but there are students. You know, there are most school districts teach abstinence-only method, which does not include instructions on birth control. That's, I mean, so let me turn to Dr. Wiley about that. So can you clear that up for me?
Which part?
I mean,
I have several things I'd like to comment on. Which part?
Okay, let's start off with how prevalent is abstinence-only in, like, they don't teach anything in regards to birth control.
Rampant. And so I'm not sure where she's getting her data. I'm sorry?
Like, give me a number. Rampant.
I'm sorry, number of districts or?
Yeah, you know, well, this is the factoid. It did kind of bother me. Mm-hmm. More than 80% of Texas public school districts are not teaching sex education or exclusively teaching abstinence-only methods. Why are we lumping those two things together?
Because they have one thing at the core, which is students aren't learning anything about consistent and correct use of contraception. That's the core issue, is those are lumped together in the idea that at the end of the day, our kids walking out of public schools knowing about their bodies, knowing how to protect themselves from sexually transmitted infections, whether or not they're currently sexually active, or this happens when they're 30 years old on their wedding night. Do they have that information? That's why those two were lumped together, because at the end of the day, they're leaving Texas youth unprepared for the 21st century.
So, Kelly Gretchel, do you agree with that teaching abstinence-only methods is the same as teaching not sex education at all?
I would disagree, because I think abstinence-only, much like they do with abstinence-only alcohol and drug teaching tools, is that they give the students tools to recognize when they're being pressured, what kinds of things to say, why it is that we even say don't have sex, you know, what is the reasoning. And like as he mentioned, you know, STDs are rampant, and that's a very big problem. And I think students deserve the correct information, which is if you have sex, you run the risk of it, even with any type of birth control.
So, you know, so Kelly, I mean, I'm a little bit older than you are. And when we were kids growing up, we didn't have the internet, but it's out there now. And kids these days, they're seeing stuff that I didn't even know existed. It just boggles the mind. How are we supposed to deal with that in an abstinence-only kind of world? I mean, aren't we supposed to teach these kids that is not real?
What is not real, like pornography and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's not the way real people are having real sex. I mean, it is a distortion of reality. It's a warping, and it's warping people to see it. Children.
Absolutely, I would agree.
So how do we deal with that if we're not going to talk about this in a fact-based way?
Oh, I think abstinence education does talk about all forms of sexuality in a fact-based way, but what it doesn't do is say, listen, I know you're going to do it anyway. Here's a condom.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, let me address that.
Dr. Wiley, please.
It's not quite that simple, and that's one of the reasons when you look at people who are in the public arena talking about anti-sex ed or condom education, they make it seem that simple, and it's not. And these programs talk about condom negotiation skills, they talk about abstinence, they talk about relationships. It's not just have a condom. And we don't say if you have sex, but when. You know, almost 100% of adults become sexually active at some point in their life, and to act like this isn't going to happen just by telling kids, we're not going to tell you anything about this, figure it out on your own, is just ridiculous. And not only that, your guest has mentioned on a couple of occasions, we say no in abstinence to alcohol, drugs, etc. Well, normal sexual healthy development is a part of adolescent growth and development. And so to be sexually curious, to wonder about your body, all those kinds of things are normal traits of adolescent growth and development. Being a successful drug user or a successful alcoholic or a successful cigarette, tobacco user is not a part of adolescent growth and development. So to lump those two things together is completely apples and oranges. And I would challenge anybody who thinks it is, go talk to some young people in schools and see this whole idea about this notion that talking about sexual health is somehow dirty, secretive, etc. We we do a study abroad trip. I'm at Texas State University. We do a study abroad trip to London every year. And over there, they treat young people as if they are assets and that sexuality is a public health issue to be addressed. Over here, we treat young people like they're beings to be controlled and manipulated the way the adults want them to act. And we treat this as a morality issue. Well, I'll put numbers of teen births and teen pregnancies in Western Europe up against U.S. numbers any day because they treat young people as if they can make their own decisions. They don't try to hide information or scare young people with false information. And they acknowledge that being sexually curious and worrying and wondering about your body is a very normal thing.
All right, we're going to take a break. Kelly, are you able to hang on to the next segment or not, or do you have to go?
No, I can hang on.
Okay, that would be great. We'll get to some of these phone calls in just a second. The phone line is open, 210-614-8980. We'll also hear more about Project Worth here in San Antonio. This is The Source here on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. You're listening to Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source. Let's get some of these callers on the air as we talk about sex education in our public classrooms. Russell has called in. And Russell, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Well, my question is about I volunteer with the Big Brother program here in San Antonio. When I'm having these conversations with young teens, they want to have an adult serious conversation about this topic because to think that they're not having these urges and wanting to explore this and wanting to do it safely is absurd. So having someone who's talking about abstinence-only programs, you might as well just have a flat earther on trying to discuss this topic. You don't even need to deserve the space for it because the teenagers, they want to know not only how to have sex safely, but also how to promote a healthy sexual lifestyle yes. when they choose to engage in it.
All right, Russell, thank you for the call. Well, Kelly, Gretchen, let me ask you about that. A flat earther, do you think that you are in denial of a reality that, accurate information, medical information is beneficial to these children?
First, I'd like to thank Russell for his comments. I would say that comprehensive sex ed does not have a monopoly on scientific fact. Abstinence-based education can present just as much scientific fact and as much anatomy about the body and even talk about the exploratory urges of children that Dr. Wiley was speaking about, just in the terms of, we want you to have the safest possible route. Here's the safest possible route. Why wouldn't we give you the best that we have, being that we are in America here? Of course, science can be put into any curriculum. It's not like we don't use science or that we just use body shaming and things of that nature. That makes no sense. Most of us, are married, are happy in our own sexual lives. We know that this is a good thing and good for kids. We just want them to have the healthiest way to go about this in the world when, like Dr. Wiley says, they choose to have sex.
Yeah, but cause and effect, that's part of science as well. So we know that when we give more information about all the options to students in the public school classroom with sex education, that they are less likely actually to engage in sex, certainly less likely to get pregnant and to get infected with a sexually transmitted disease, Kelly. So that's pertinent information.
I'm sorry, are you saying that
when you provide these information, when you provide the information, you get the outcomes that you want. So by denying that, you are, the flat earther, according to the caller.
It's interesting, though, because if education was all that the students needed and support and free services was all that they needed, I think we would see a bit more dramatic results. The fact that students are still coming in with STDs, they're still coming in, birth control fails. Sometimes it does. Unfortunately, the human use rate for condoms is like 88% or 82%, depending on what study you look at. That's not 100% effective. I'm just letting my son or daughter know, if you want 100% effective, this is the way to go. If you don't, get a condom.
Great. Next caller, Kelly. Kelly, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Just listening to your conversation, it kind of makes me think about the fact that we rely so much, although I am all for public education in terms of sex ed, I think we're so dependent on that as a culture. where we really need to have the familial responsibility of discussing these things at home with our sons and daughters in a very frank, very open, very fact-based way. And I know that it makes us squeamish sometimes as a society to do that, but I think approaching our own children with an openness and putting our own biases aside and just talking to them about their bodies, how their bodies work, what the feelings are that are involved in, you know, sexual activity and, you know, the feelings that are involved too are really important, I think, for kids this age, because they're learning about those things too. And I think, you know, that having the education at school has its merits, but I don't know that it goes far enough if we're not doing what we need to be doing with them at home too.
Okay, Kelly, thank you for the call. So Mario Martinez over at Project Worth, you know, a parent, someone in the family, an adult figure stepping in, starting the conversation, how beneficial is that?
That's very beneficial. I mean, it has to be part of the community strategy to prevent STD, HIV, and teen pregnancy. We need to have that parent communication and strengthening that communication with young people. In the parent groups that we've done, parents do want to hear about this information and even have some kind of guidance about how do we start that conversation. And so it's really what we've seen is parents answering their own questions when they're in the group. And that's the kind of conversations we need to have more of in our community, where parents could come together and learn from each other and really just kind of look at how do they approach this issue on their own terms as a family.
Another caller with Armando. Armando, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to plug in the Youth Advocacy Council. My daughter's 15, is part of that group, and they learn quite a bit about STDs. They learn quite a bit about trafficking of young people and adults. And it's a very important conversation she even has with her schoolmates at school who come in and divulge to her what they're going through. And it's phenomenal. If parents want to really open up and see, take a look at that website. Look at the conversations that are going on. It's pretty amazing.
All right, Armando, thank you for that. And your reaction to that, Dr. Wiley?
Well, yes, these last couple of calls are very interesting. I believe that they've nailed a couple of salient points. First of all, we think parents have a role, without a doubt. But I will tell you this, most people who are listening to your show do not have any kind of conversation with their parents at all, or a minimal conversation about sexual health. So what we have is generation after generation after generation of sexually illiterate adults. And so are we asking parents to do something they're not trained to do? So what I think we ought to be focusing on is schools being in charge of information, facts, science. For example, the most well-intentioned parent probably has no idea how to talk to his or her young person about the pros and cons of long-acting reversible contraception. A teacher can do that. But the parent should be in charge of what is the expectation for our family, what are our family values, what is our family morality, our goals for education, our goals for life. That's where the parents and the schools can work together, because I guarantee you there's a lot of well-intentioned parents who don't have a medical or science background who could easily talk about what they expect for their child, but would really struggle with some of the information that needs to be conveyed. That's where the schools step in.
Caller Cecilia. And Cecilia, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on as well. I had a comment, and I've been listening to the entire show. It's true what the last speaker just said. You know, it's ideal for parents to teach the children, but we have to consider that we live in a society where we rely on publicly educating our children, unless we homeschool them. And if we're going to rely on the public education system, then it has to be incorporated, because one way or another, Texas being the highest in teen pregnancy rates and teaching abstinence only, that fantasy world is not working. And if something's not working, it has to change. So I don't think that sex education should be limited. I think that they need to learn what they need to learn so that they can keep from unhealthy sexual choices.
Cecilia, thank you for your call. I appreciate that information. And so Mario Martinez over at Project Worth, we heard earlier in the show, you reported that we San Antonio saw what a 26% drop in the teen pregnancy rate. Is that what you said?
26% drop in the teen birth rate here in San Antonio Bexar County.
And so is that trend continuing?
We don't have the latest 2015 data to see what's happening after 2014, but our expectation is that declining trend will continue.
And what do you think is behind that trend?
So, and this is what we're seeing maybe at the state level and also at the national level, where we see fewer teens who are sexually active, and then those who are sexually active are using the better forms of contraceptive methods.
What are the better forms?
So, as Dr. Wiley had mentioned, these are long-acting reversible contraceptives.
Like Norplant or something?
So we're talking about the contraceptive implant or the IUD.
And the city of San Antonio was providing some of that product to some select teens. Are they still doing that?
No. So that project was a three-year project that ended last September. And so it was a project where we were providing no-cost contraceptive methods. And replicating what other states were doing, like Colorado and then in Missouri, where they were providing no-cost contraceptive methods to at-risk teens. And what they saw is a reduction in pregnancy rates and also reduction in abortions. Now, here in San Antonio, I can tell you that just looking at the 2 years of the project data, that we have had no reported pregnancies in that of individuals who access those services.
So that project sunsetted, is no longer in existence. It has nothing to do with any with leadership or anything at City Hall?
No. So that was just a three-year project that it actually was a demonstration project.
And Kelly Gritchell, real quick, as we leave, a San Antonio Coalition for Life, what do you want to see happening here?
I would love to see parents being able to engage with their students using facts and science. And I would love for the schools to give students the best choices. I would hope that a school would say, hey, college is an option for you. You can have the best if you want the best. Let me tell you what the best looks like. And it truly is the only way to 100% avoid STDs, avoid a situation where you are pregnant and cannot care for your child, is to not have sex. And unfortunately, that is just plain fact.
Okay, and last words, Dr. Wiley, we got about 10 seconds here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate being on, and I just think, look at the data. Anyone who wants to argue that what we're doing currently is working well is just blinded to the facts.
Dr. David Wiley, professor of sex education at Texas State University, founder of the Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. Mario Martinez with us from Project Worth. Kelly Gritchell is the executive director of the San Antonio Coalition for Life. I'm David Martin Davies, and this is The Source on your public radio station, Texas Public Radio KSTX.